Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. I hope that your morning has gone just exactly the way you wanted it to go. If you're listening on the podcast version of today's show on breadboxmedia.podbean.com, and I hope that your day, depending on what time you're listening, has gone exactly the way that you've wanted it. And if it hasn't, remember that God always has a plan, even if it's not our plan, and if we don't really see the logic in it. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. And he promises in Romans 8:28 to make good of that if you just give him your heart and love him through it, because he's already loving you, which is really part of today's topic. Today's topic is the final in the 3 days of trying to decide what book to start with in 2017. Not reading, but writing. Allison's finally going to just bite the bullet, get down to brass tacks, all those wonderful cliches. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to write. And I wanted to know, I have three ideas swimming around in my head, and I was like looking for your feedback. Like, which one would you think you or others might be more interested in starting off on? God willing, we'll get all three done. But the first one I talked about on Monday was the seven joys of Mary, or just the joys of Mary. And yesterday's show, I talked about seven invitations that really changed my life. This invitation from God, from others, like God using others to draw me into him, into my heart. And they really were, I think they're very universal. You know, this invitation to learn the word of God, this invitation to small group study, this invitation to online community, this invitation to serve God. And our family, we served him through adoption. We serve him in other ways too, but that was our big mission, was to bring home Faithy. And maybe that seems like a pretty narrow-minded mission, but I believe that our testimony for people looking at our family of bringing home this profoundly deaf orphan child from China, I'm hoping encourages other people to consider adoption. And it wasn't a fertility issue. It was truly God's call on our heart to bring her home and to give a home to somebody who didn't have it. To, you know, love is... Not to quote the Sister Wives, but that's all I can think of is that commercial. Okay, I actually watch it. I'm not going to lie. I'm fascinated by this. I know why reality TV is so fascinating, because just this look into people's lives, and it's just, my son's like, that's so fake. I'm like, even if it's fake that people think this way, just blows my mind. Anyway, love, he says in the beginning of the show, isn't meant to be divided. It's meant to be multiplied. So if you have room in your heart, in your home, and there's always room for one more, I think. And one of my favorite books for 2016 was actually Jamie Stuart Wolfe's Room for One More? From Pauline Books and Media. Great book about adoption. And I got to endorse that book. So, you know, just all the different ways that we're invited. That was yesterday's show. I also talked about invitation to go deeper through pilgrimage at World Youth Day. We have another one coming up October 2017 of this year. You go to reconciledtoyou.com. You can click on the image right on the front page or homepage of reconciledtoyou.com. It is the pilgrimage to Poland, hopefully. We'll see. God's will be done. It's about my seventh try at a pilgrimage on my own after going to World Youth Day. And I do pray that it happens, but I'm very well aware that it may not. And I'm okay with that. But if it does, it would be so great to do that with you. I'm so excited to go to she was Sister Faustina. Now she's Saint Faustina's homeland, the church, her shrine, St. John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, Edith Stein, Auschwitz, the Eucharistic miracle. These are all on the agenda, and that agenda is all available there on reconciledto.com. We're going with Catholic Faith Journeys, incredible, incredible company for spiritual travel. So if you want to check out them too, catholicfaithjourneys.com. Good stuff. So that's like what's been happening, what we're doing this week, looking at these three different things: the seven joys of Mary, the seven invitations. I love the number seven. I was born on 7/7. It's the perfect number in the Bible. So I decided that all the chapters, all these books and the Catholic 24/7 book series from me and from other authors. You'll be meeting those throughout the year. You've already met them a little bit. I had them on just a few months ago here on Catholic 24/7. That was my old radio show, on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. But we're going to be inviting them in and kind of revealing what they'll be writing about. But I don't know where to start. And so today we're going to look at seven characteristics of God that knocked my socks off. These things astounded me, and I had no idea this is who God was. So my idea of God was that he was mean and kind of the Old Testament version, like he was just waiting for me to mess up, which usually didn't take long. But if I was eventually going to make a really big mess up and he was just going to smoke me on the spot, I was just going to be a big pile of ashes and soot, or I was definitely going to hell because I was just such a horrible person. And I had no idea about who he himself tells us he is, that he's loving and merciful, forgiving, trustworthy, genuine. He's the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is just, yet gentle, providential, patient. He's very patient. And I didn't see him as any of those things. And the more I read the scriptures, the more I spent time in prayer, and of course, in the sacraments, the more I realized I have no clue who God is. And there was no wonder I had no desire to be in relationship with him, because I had no idea who I was getting into relationship with. Like, I needed to know him better. I needed to know who he was. And through prayer, sacrament, and scripture, my heart has just been so enlarged, and things have been revealed to me. Like, that's one of the things about prayer that is so remarkable to me, is that you start to know things that you didn't even know you knew. Or God reveals things and you're like, is that the truth? Is that really what's happening? And then, I mean, I'll feel so deeply like, yes, this is truly God's revelation. And then I'd go and read something right after it, and it would be affirmation. Like, oh, yes, he is love. John tells us in the gospel, God is love. And if you read the catechism, it tells us all about God as love and mercy, the forgiveness, just finished up the year of mercy. And this relationship with God just continues to grow. And the more it grows, like, of course, I'm like, I am trying pathetically as a human being to put characteristics and thoughts on God, who is really just an unfathomable being. Like, I could never describe him. Like, he is who is, and I am who am. He is who is. He's not fathomable. Like, we can't. But my human brain, and I need my boundaries, and I need to put God in those boundaries for me as a human to relate to him. And I think, obviously, because God created me this way, it's okay to do that. It's okay to see him in these human ways, these different characteristics. But we realizing that he's not love in the way you and I experience love, because all of our loves have conditions, whether we like it or not, we have conditions on our love. But God's love has no condition. It's without limits. We can't even, like, even if you're a parent and you think you love your children fully and completely, there's still a condition. I love them much better when they're behaving than when they're not behaving. I was just sharing with my sister and my cousin and I, we have a Facebook instant message that we've had going for several years now. We call it Let's Drink. And it's our way of, you know, just during the day, whatever's going on. It's our place where we vent. It's a place where we share. It's a place where we connect. It's such a beautiful thing that we've used this technology for. And I was just sharing with them that last night, the boys, Adam was in the basement getting, him and Ian switched rooms, and he was in the basement getting his new room set up. And Adam, Ian had come home from work. And usually they would just, you know, go to their hovels and stay in their place. I get a grunt on the way by. I'm usually in the living room. And both of them came together and hung out and talked with me for over a half an hour. And I don't know if you're a parent of a young adult or a teenager. It's quite a feat and a blessing when they make time for you. And I just so enjoyed that. Just seeing, like, last year was so difficult for my family. I mean, everybody, I think, goes through, obviously, peaks and valleys, and last year was just difficult. You know, Ian was really struggling with his mental health, and my father-in-law was passing away, and he did pass. Adam lost his very best friend, Brett, on Christmas Day. I started on Christmas Eve. He asphyxiated himself, and Adam was there, showed up there because he knew something was wrong, and he was there to help the mother with CPR. I mean, Brett lived long enough to get the last rites to become a donor to six people who got Christmas miracles that year. And of course, his parents and family, his sisters got to say goodbye. But it was very difficult, you know, and as this, and Brett was one of my preschool students, so our whole family really ached at his loss. And we had just lost Kevin's dad, and we were financially just scrimping by and in panic mode 24/7. I think everybody can kind of relate to those difficult times. But in it all, God was so loving and caring and providential. When we come back, we're going to look at all of those wonderful things that God is. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. And this week you're helping me decide which book to start with in January when I settle down and finally start to write the first in the faith sharing scripture, the scripture faith sharing books, what we're going to call Catholic 24/7. It's going to be a series of books, and in the books, they'll be meant for small group. I mean, they can be used obviously for a self-study too, but mostly I'd love to see people come together in small group study. And these books will include the theme. Each book will be around a theme, obviously, because books that don't kind of connect together aren't really fun to read. And we have seven other women, right, at this point, writing for the series. I'm very excited. I can't wait to reveal who they are and reveal what's happening. It's taken most of 2016 to get the wheels under it, to kind of, you know, I'm the person who, I get an idea and I want it done tomorrow. And this was waiting part has been really difficult, but it's time. And I feel like the time is now, and lots of prayer and preparation have gone into it. And I really, again, I ask you to continue to pray for Catholic 24/7, pray for some of the things that we still need to work out. And another idea that just came to me this morning that will hopefully help another Catholic small business. So I know I'm vague. My husband would say I was vague booking. You know, have you ever seen somebody write something on Facebook and you're like, what? It's like so vague what they're trying to say, but you can tell there's something very meaningful behind it. We call that vague booking. Oh, all the new words that we have entered into our English language as technology grows. Anyway, so you're helping me decide. I did Seven Joys of Mary Monday, Seven Invitations on Wednesday, and today I'm doing Seven Characteristics of God That Knocked My Socks Off. And I'm really not sure. I feel like I'm not going to start with the Mary book, even though I love it to pieces. I feel like that's probably a better book to come out at Christmas next year, in Advent next year, I should say. But I'm not really sure which one, like the Seven Characteristics of God, which is a little bit like the first book I wrote back in 2000. Gosh, I don't even know, 13-ish, 12? I think 12. And it was called Three Persons, One God. And it kind of was the same thing of looking at God as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then he was loving, trustworthy, and forgiving. And I loved that book, though it was definitely could have used a little bit more editing, a little bit. I mean, I self-published it. It was so new just to learning about the faith, but I felt called to do it. And I know that it's blessed many people. I've been very, you know, people have said how much it's blessed them. Three persons, one God. It is still available on Amazon, but I feel like I want to go deeper. And in that book, it's the same format that this is going to be. The opening reflection, kind of just giving you an intro to the topic and to the theme for that chapter, followed by the scripture study where you're followed by actually a reflection question. And then a scripture study where we're going to give you 3 to 5 scriptures that have to relate to the topic and just the address of where it is in the Bible and some lines. Like I really think for me, And part of my journey back to the faith really came from studies like that, where I was given just the scripture passage, the verse, I mean, and I'd have to look it up and write just a little bit of like a little synopsis of what it meant to me or what God was trying to tell me, or, you know, even sometimes verbatim, what did it say? And I think that getting my nose in the scripture and actually opening up the physical book was crucial. It really was instrumental in where I am today, because sometimes it was that line, that particular verse that I needed to know that the author had shared, but sometimes it's the one that comes next or the one before it, or just because I'm in the scriptures, suddenly I find myself like in the Psalms or reading something that Jesus had to say. And it was the physicalness of having the book in my hand. If I hadn't done that, if they had just given me the verse, I know that I would never be where I am. So I think quite often the things that God shows us, it's not meant just for us. It's meant to be shared either by telling somebody or in this case, creating something that will give that same experience to others. And then after you look up the verses, there is a second reflection that talks about the verses, because the first book I did, I didn't do that. I just gave you the verses and we moved on. And many of the first readers made the comment that they wanted to know what I thought. Like, was this, were they right? Were they wrong? And I'm trying to explain, there's no right or wrong, but there is that part of, well, what was I supposed to get out of it? And kind of checking it to what you actually got out of it. So there's that. And then discussion questions for your reflection and for your to go deeper and kind of ponder, because Mary pondered, we're going to ponder. And then the discussion questions are wonderful for doing in a small group. But the big thing about the Catholic 24/7 books that I'm the most excited about is that they're meant to be obviously read before you come to group. However, there are weeks where that's not possible. And the only time you have is that one and a half or two hours you have for small group. I always say keep it within 2 hours, because if it's longer than that, they're not going to want to come. And I always say also in small group, you have to have a timekeeper, whether it's you or somebody in the group. If you say you end at 9, you need to end at 9. Because if people see you're not going to end on time, you're going to lose them. They're going to be like, well, you know, 9 o'clock is already late. I have one group that ends at 9. I have one group that ends at 8:30. One that goes an hour and a half and one that goes 2 hours, depending on, you know, you can tell from the group whether they're, you know, there for the hour and a half. Things I do at the church, I usually make sure it ends by 8:30. And things I do in my home, we usually go till 9. Just a little heads up. But you have to be, you know, really consistent. If you say you're going to start at 7, a little bit of chatter when they first come in is fine, getting everybody settled. But by 7:05, you better be on topic. And if you say you're going to end at 8:30, at 8:25, you better be wrapping things up and getting that final prayer in. I think it's really important. I mean, I've seen this time and time again. I've been in study now for 10 years. I'm just going to share a little bit of my heart with you when it comes to that. And that's why I feel so strongly about doing these books. Oh, the book also includes an opening and closing prayer, because not everybody's comfortable with just, you know, praying out loud. Or, I mean, we love the Our Father, Hail Mary, good prayers. But sometimes it's nice to have that prayer that is connected to your reading. So the authors are including a beginning, an ending prayer, scriptures for you to look up, lovely reflections, and anecdotes and analogies. I make up the best words, analogies and reflections in lots of places. Like, this book is one you're going to want in print. We're pretty sure we're going to have it in Kindle as well, but you're going to want it in print because you're going to want to write all over it. There is a great connection, a real connection, scientifically and psychologically proven connection between the brain's ability to remember and to process with your writing, with your physical writing. That's why bullet journaling is so popular. Christina Trinidad and I talked about bullet journaling. I can put a link to that show that we did on that. And it's, you know, basically this journal that, you know, you physically write stuff down. It's lovely having an electronic calendar that, you know, flashes and says, don't forget to pick up the kids. But there's something about being able to process and prioritize and remember and understand things when we write them down. So this book, I want you to be able to, nice margins, plenty of white space to write all over it and to really delve deep. Like, this becomes your spiritual journal that you can keep and look back on. Hindsight is so much fun when it comes to growing in faith. So these are the books. This is the hope. This is the prayer. And small groups coming together, the accountability, like all of the things that the Lord revealed to me that brought me closer to Him. I want to give that same gift to you. That's my hope and my desire. Please keep it in your prayers. We're talking today. So yesterday's book was the seven invitations and today is the seven characteristics of God. And I'm really not sure where to start. Like, is it important to know how to get to God? Or do you first need to know who God is? Like, chicken before the egg. I'm really very unsure where to go. And I really, really, come on, nobody's emailed me yet. You have to. You have to send me an email, allison@breadboxmedia.com or info@reconciledtoyou.com. You have to help me make this decision. Of course, probably helps if I actually get on topic and you know what the seven characteristics of God are to decide from. But I think it's a little self-explanatory. We're going to talk about how loving, I already actually talked about how loving He is. When we come back, I'll talk about His mercifulness, His trustworthiness, how He is gentle yet just, His providence. I talk about His providence all the time, especially as I talk about last November and all the trouble that we had and that fidelity truck that our Blessed Mother sends, just to remind me that God is hearing my prayers, that she's interceding for us, and that He is faithful. You know, just being reminded that He is faithful. Oh, that might be another one I want to include here, huh? That God is faithful, the fidelity of God. And then patient. God is so patient. At least He seems to be pretty patient with me. Though I never pray for patience because I've learned the hard way. If you pray for patience, God doesn't just give you that gift and that virtue. No, 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 no. He gives you something to be patient about. Maybe that's why it's taken me over six months to get these books even into the writing phase, because God's trying to teach me patience and prudence and faithfulness of my own. That tricky God, He's always up to something. But what He's really always up to is loving you. And if I know I keep saying this, but I think that this is something we need to hear again and again and again. You are the beloved child of God. We come back. Let's find out more about our loving God. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Well, Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. If you haven't been over to ReconcileToYou.com lately, my blog, you can click on the blog link. I have a couple of really cute things up there this week. I have the seven festive Merry Christmas to Me gifts, just sharing some of the things that I've discovered over the year, including the hashtag Catholic chick, no, chick. Chic, chic, chic. Allison, these are tough words. Hashtag Catholic chic subscription box. Fell in love with it. They sent it to me for free to check it out. I Instagrammed all about it. I Facebooked all about it. And then I actually wrote about it this week and ended up subscribing because I fell in love. And I want to support small Catholic businesses. This has been just really a theme lately as I watch small Catholic businesses struggle or go out of business or not be able to sustain, you know, what the Lord has put on their heart to do, because this is a very secular world and it's tough. So there's some books that I put there. Again, Ignatius Press, Ave Maria Press, Servant Books, Pauline Books and Media, some of the wonderful people, Tan Books, that have supported A Seeking Heart during this year. If you haven't had an opportunity to buy some of the books that we've talked about, maybe the seven festive Merry Christmas to Me gifts is these are the things that after Christmas, when I get Christmas money, because even at 48, I still get Christmas money from my parents and my godmother. These are my mother-in-law. These are things that I would like to buy for myself. They might be gifts for somebody else. Some of them might not be in time since Christmas is just 3 days away. But just some things to think about. Beautiful jewelry from Gail's Designs. If you remember, she gave away that gorgeous Divine Mercy bracelet. Sacred Heart bracelet. Beautiful red and bronze. Absolutely breathtaking. So there's just some of the things. We've had a lot of wonderful people here. Fabric, Faith in Fabric, and of course Christina Trinidad and her beautiful Etsy shop at Christina Makes. Just so many wonderful things that we've been blessed to have. So that's over there. Seven festive gifts for me. I also had Worth Revisiting yesterday, was looking at if I was going to write a praise song for myself, like the Magnificat, like what from this year would I include in it? What blessings has God given me that I would include in that? So those are over there. And of course, Music That Moves You series continues with Sarah Kroger's music. Love Sarah Kroger. If you haven't yet checked her out, you go over again, reconciletoyou.com, click on blog, and then search Music That Moves. We had Sarah Kroger. We had Dana Catherine. I wrote for Catholic Mom on her. And what was his name? That's terrible. Why can't I? Ben Walther. There it is. I'm like, I can picture his face, Ben Walther. So some good stuff over at reconciledtoyou.com. Go and check it out if you have a moment. Now, characteristics of God that knocked my socks off. We talked about how loving he is. One of my favorite passages in all of scripture is from 1 John. And it says, I have come to know and rely on the love that God has for me. That's probably Allison Abridged version. It might be said for us. It's all about me. But to come and to know and rely, there's different versions, variations of the word rely. Some different Bibles use different words, but this is the one. Some say come and know and believe. I just really love the word rely. I just think that for me, that speaks to what I need God to be for me and who he is. Like, I don't have to make that up and say, I need to be able to have God be reliable. Well, he is reliable and he is loving, and I can know and embrace those. And we kind of see that tangibly through the Eucharist. God's John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that anyone who believes in him will have eternal life and will never die, will never perish. And we get that through the consumption of the Eucharist and spending time in the Eucharist. The next one I wanted to kind of move on to a little bit is the merciful, that he's bounding in forgiveness, and he's the God of second, third, 3,000, 5 million chances. And we can see that all God asks is that we turn to him. And we see that in one of James's in the James, yeah, in the letter of St. James, where it just says, turn to God, come near to God, and he will come near to you. It's like, just turn a little bit, and he's right there. He's just waiting for us, and he wants to shower us in his mercy. He wants to forgive everything. And I know that I struggled to believe that God could forgive some of the things that I had done and who I was as a person. And I knew I had to make changes, but I wasn't sure if it was too late. And God says it's never too late. And if you look in the Old Testament, one of the greatest examples of how merciful God is in seeing King David, the story of King David. King David, God said, was a man after his own heart. And this was after David had lusted after Bathsheba, and like she was bathing on the roof. That's probably mistake number one, like bathe in the house. He's lusting after her, and then he wants her for himself, so he arranges it for her husband. Yes, she was married. Her husband to go to the front lines of the battle that he himself, as the king, had was waging, knowing that Uriah would be killed, and then he could have his, Bathsheba to himself. The baby that they had conceived in their little adulterous tryst, he was taken from David. He died. But then we see that he's just so contrite. He doesn't, turn to God and say, I can't believe you did this. Like, I'm done with you. He's sorry. He realizes that all of the things that he had done were so wrong. And he asked God for forgiveness. I love the scene in the scriptures where he's kind of in ash cloth. Why do I want to call it that? He's on a dunghill he's covered in ashes, and he's just pouring his heart out, just asking God. It's just such a visual, of just, in this, it's an itchy thing. He's in an itchy shirt. That's it. He's in itchy clothes. So he's really trying to show his penance by sitting in a dunghill with itchy clothes. Okay. Allison's abridged version of the Bible may be a little off, but you get the idea. If you read it, you'll say, oh, I see where she was going. Oh my gosh. But we see in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, dear Lord, renewing me a steadfast spirit. And that's David's prayer to the Lord. And when you offer that prayer, God is so faithful to receive it from you. If you are contrite, he will forgive. And it doesn't even have to be perfect contrition. It can be this imperfect contrition where we're like, I know I should be sorry and I'm trying to be sorry, but I'm kind of worried that I may do it again. And God's like, I know, you probably will. It's who you are. But my mercy is endless, and it pours into you every time you ask, every time you come for it. It is there and it's ready. He is merciful and he is forgiving. He's also trustworthy. And I struggle with trusting people. So to now trust a deity I can't see is really hard. And it's probably why I am so stuck on seeking signs, and how the Lord knows this about myself and is so generous in sending me signs. Oh, there's another characteristic of him. I guess generous falls under being providential, huh? Is that God sends me these signs that I need because he knows that I struggle to trust. My history, my past doesn't really lend itself to being really having a lot of experience with trust, with people being trustworthy themselves, or lots of trusts have been broken along the way in my life, and I'm sure you can relate to that too. It's part of being human. It's part of the human condition that we hurt people sometimes meaningfully, and sometimes unintentionally. I hope mostly unintentionally. We say things that we don't mean, or we say things we mean to do, but we just never get to. And that can really lead you to worry and wonder, like, if I'm made in God's image and likeness, and if I'm not trustworthy, and these people around me also made in God's image and trust, image and likeness aren't trustworthy, then how is he? Again, we're made in his image and likeness, but we're not exactly like him. He is infinite and wonderful. And as Saint Faustina tells us, trustworthy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And as my beloved spiritual director, Deacon Jerry Ryan, always says to me, if you're going to trust God, then trust God. No beating around the bush. You just have to trust him. And when you do, when you step out, and he's not going to leave you hanging. He's not going to be like, oh, thanks for trusting me. Let me shatter that. He's absolutely going to come through for you, and not to prove himself to us, because he doesn't have to, because he loves us. He will. He will not leave you hanging. The other one we're going to look at when we come back is truthfulness. He's genuine. He's authentic. And again, with people in this world, we don't find too many genuine, truthful, authentic people. But he tells us, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we know whoever sees the Son sees the Father. And so that beautiful Trinity, that mystery that we'll never understand, that when we see the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, we're seeing one God, and that one God is all of these wonderful things and so many more that we don't even have words for. We come back. Let's look at God's truthfulness, his gentleness, his providence, and his patience. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're finishing up a week of trying to figure out what book for Allison to start with in 2017, not reading, but writing. Looked at the Seven Joys of Mary on Monday, which I think, the more I think about it, is probably going to be my Advent book for 2017, God willing. The next two were yesterday's Seven Invitations that brought me closer to Christ, or began my spiritual journey, or things that were kind of catalysts to keep my spiritual journey going, and Seven Characteristics of God. And we've looked at several of them already. God is loving, he's merciful, he's trustworthy, he is the truth, he's true, he's genuine, he's authentic. I think we're going to, one of the things about being the God being the truth is that he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He does not change. He's unchanging. I think that's very important for me to understand, probably for you to understand, that, you know, as we read his word, even if it's written 2,000 years ago, to know that he is that same loving, trustworthy, forgiving, merciful God, joyful, hopeful, like all of those things that we desire. As St. Augustine would say, that God sighs whole in our hearts. He fits perfectly. And his word is the truth. Like, that's, you know, how we can discover him, you know, discover him more is through the scriptures, and his word is the truth. And, you know, for me, his word and things that have really struck me, and wanting to be more like him and be more authentic myself and be more genuine, is looking at the things, especially that St. Paul talks about, that I need to put away to be more like him. I need to put away malice and envy and gossip and judgment. And those were all really hard things for me to part with. They become such a part of who I was that I feared I would be a different person. And I would have, honestly, when it came to giving up gossip, I absolutely feared I'd have nothing to say, that I'd have nothing of interest, that people wouldn't want to be my friend, that I wouldn't be funny, that I wouldn't be entertaining. And it's just remarkable to me that God's faithfulness, oh, I definitely have to add faithfulness into this one, for me saying, all right, Lord, I will give up gossip. I will not do this any longer. he then said, okay, here's what I'm going to give you to talk about instead. How about talking about me? You want to gossip? You want to tell people stories? Tell my story. And I just never would have seen that as my dream for my own life. But gosh, I can't even imagine my life without that blessing of being able to talk about God. And we're all given that. It's harder. I do know that it's harder in a private setting when you're with family or friends who are not believers, but the Lord has also given me this church family and being able to lead Bible study. I get to talk about God all I want. I get to talk about the things that God has done in my heart and in my life. And that's an opportunity that you also can have, you know, to create a community where you can talk about God and you don't need to talk about other people and their lives and what's going on with them. And we have to be very careful. One of my favorite lines in Max Lucado, is it Max Lucado's book? It might actually be Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, that I talked about yesterday. He writes to be very careful about prayer requests, or actually gossip, thinly disguised as prayer requests. Let me say that again in English. Gossip, thinly disguised as prayer requests. Have you ever asked somebody to pray and you kind of give them way more detail than's necessary for them to actually pray? If you've fallen into that, you may be trying to find a new way to gossip. And I laugh, but it's very true because I have done that. You know, when I first started to come back to the faith and, you know, asking people for prayers, I would go into every detail about what I wanted people to pray about a different person, and think, well, I'm not gossiping. I'm giving a prayer request. But you know what? They don't need all that detail. You don't even need a name, because God knows. If you want people to pray for you, which is a very admirable thing, and to pray for others is a great joy, but we don't need to talk about, you know, pray for them because they're going through a divorce, or, you know, pray for them because this one thinks her husband is cheating and, you know, they don't have any money and blah, blah, blah. Like, you just go on and you don't need that. Can you just say, hey, I have a friend in need. Can you pray for them? Boom, done. God knows. You don't need to give details. And that's hard. I still fall into that a little bit. Sometimes I'll give the detail, but I won't give the name. I'm like, well, that's still not necessary. And there's sometimes you just, you know, something serious and maybe you need to process it. Like me with my anxiety, I find that sometimes I need to process stuff because it's triggering or whatever, but really God knows. And we put away those things, the malice, the envy, the gossip, the judgment. There's such a long list. Paul pretty much lays them all out. We then can start to live more genuine and truthful. And that is a beautiful characteristic of God to pick up, truly. Some of the other ones I wanted to look at, that God is just but gentle. You know, he's not going to let us get away with everything we want. That's why his mercy's there, but he's also very just. What he's asked us to do, he's asked for our own good. And so there is punishments for our deviating away from what God has asked us and what he tells us is good and holy and true and right for us. But he's also very gentle in his punishments. And that's how, when I do the forgiveness retreats, I talk a lot about that as well, because we don't want God to punish us according to our mistakes, sins, temptations. So why do we punish others for theirs? There's a forgiveness that's so freeing for you and I, for others. Doesn't mean we have to get back into relationship with them. It doesn't mean we got to be prudent, but it just makes no sense. And the Lord is very clear on this, that in order to be forgiven, you must forgive others. You must give to others what you want to accept from God. And that's kind of a whole nother show in all and of itself. And I am making a note to do a forgiveness show in 2017, so we can go deeper into understanding how all that works, that mercy and forgiveness and justice and gentleness of God kind of all intermingle. But understanding that God is just but gentle is, for me, before I just thought he was mean and nasty and going to smote me, but knowing that he's not, help me open up my heart to get to know him better and to grow in my faith again. And then the next one is a providential, providing. He's generous. He's such a generous God. And I think about a couple stories. One of them that's really, it's kind of cute. when we started to go through the financial problems, and I was really fearful of what was going to happen, the Lord really showed me. I went to Mass, and there's the two readings that have to do with being generous and giving from your poverty and not always from your overflow, from your, and knowing that God's never outdone in his generosity. And, you know, last November, when we were really at the end of what the money we had, and I had put the church, I had two envelopes, one for Catholic Charities and one for our church, and I'd put them at the end of the pile. I'm like, well, that'll be the last two things I pay. But during that Mass, I realized, no, that's not how this works. So I came home and I paid those next two things, and they were pretty substantial amounts. And I gave those to the church, and I gave it to Catholic Charities. And then in the end of the month, when the Lord had really protected us, given us all the money we needed for gas and for food and for heat, and then multiplied, you know, my bank account to the point where I mean, it went into reserve credit, but I didn't bounce anything. I saw the correlation between being generous and God's providence. And it's not like it's a quid pro quo, but it's this trust in God to say, all right, I believe that if I give you this, then you are going to take care of what I need. I didn't have money for a Lamborghini, didn't win the lottery, but I had what I need. And that's his promise. You know, we see that in Matthew's gospel. If the Lord takes care of the birds, he gives them food and shelter and warm clothes. Like, why would you think he'd be any different? Like, if you're more important than the birds. So if he's going to care so much for the birds and the flowers, how much is he going to do for you? And that's a really important lesson to kind of ponder. And one of my favorite seats in my house is looking out the window at our bird feeder. And every time I see them being provided for and their beautiful coats, I think, okay. And the Lord cares even more so for me. And the other story I was thinking of is during all of that, I went to a daily Mass one day, and they were doing a collection, and I was at the Friars of the Immaculate in New Bedford. And, you know, they live a life of poverty, and they really rely on the donations of people to survive. And they're coming along to collect, and I went into my purse and I had $1 left. And up until that point, every time I'd open my wallet during that really crucial financial time, there was always a dollar there. And it was like this reminder from God that he was taking care of me, that I was okay, that he was on top of it. So I begrudgingly gave that dollar, and then I laughed as I let go of it, thinking, Lord, I don't need the dollar to know that you love me and you're taking care of me. I trust. I got home, and I was taking off my pants for the night and throwing them in the wash. And of course, I check my pockets before I do it. I found $2 in my pocket. And it just made me laugh. The last thing as we go into this last minute of our today's show is patience. God is very patient. He knows that we are going to two steps forward, three steps back sometimes in our faith life and in different temptations and struggles that we have. You know, maybe we're struggling with pornography. And so we have a day where we can go without looking at anything and really being strong not to go on social media or whatever it is, and fighting that temptation. And maybe the next day we can't stop looking. The Lord knows that these are in our hearts, and he's very patient because he also knows if we're praying to get through this and to be different, that he's going to be faithful to that. And he's going to help us through that. If we're maybe praying, not really good at praying every day, but we're trying, the Lord's going to be patient, knowing that it's our heart's desire to pray, and he longs to give us our heart's desire, and he's going to give us every grace and blessing that we need to accomplish these things. So make sure you send me a message, Allison@redboxmedia.com or info@reconciledtoyou. Which book should I start with? We are breaking now for Christmas break. We'll see you next Thursday, December 29th. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.